Let's see. Okay. Hello, this is Eric Bynes from www.publicspeakingcrushit.com. I'm very excited today because I've got a great interview ahead of me. We're very fortunate to be speaking with Judy Dipple. Judy is a freelance writer and an author. She's a speaker and marketing consultant and a staff writer for news magazine Discover Eugene. She enjoys helping people bring words to life, whether they're written or spoken. Judy is a registered speaker with Class Services, Inc., which stands for Christian Leaders, Authors, and Speaker Services. You can find her work, at least an example of it, at www.classservices.com. Judy is also a registered speaker with www.womensministry.net and Ministry Women. She's a frequent luncheon, retreat, and conference presenter and easily connects with her audience, and they leave feeling as if they've spent time with a good friend. Her media experience includes radio, television, and a variety of other media interviews. Judy currently lives in Eugene, Oregon, enjoys hiking and outdoor activities. Judy, I'm so glad to have you on the call today. Welcome.
Thank you, Eric. It's really good to be here. Glad to meet you.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome.
Well, to begin with, do you mind taking a little bit of time to talk to our listeners? And by the way, I wanted to make sure I had your website right. Is it Class Services with just two S's?
Actually, that is not my website.
Okay.
That's the Class website, the Christian Leaders, Authors, and Speakers website.
Oh, yes.
My website is actually www.judydipple.com.
Perfect. Well, thanks for clarifying that.
Oh, no problem.
Well, go ahead. If you could tell us a little bit about maybe how you got started in speaking and as an author. And,
I actually stepped out in 2003, so I haven't been at this all that long, left the day job and wrote my first book. And that was my dream, to write a book. Little did I know that the bigger part is marketing and getting yourself out there. So speaking is a huge part of being an author. And so I was sort of pushed into that screaming and kicking a little bit. But it is a courageous and humbling journey to become a speaker. It's that for everyone. So I guess I like to say that to the audience. You're not odd if you don't want to clamor to be up there on the stage. I think that's true for most people. But you can begin by getting some good training. For me, writing conferences throughout the country are awesome for having good training. And I did train also through CLASS, which is Christian Leaders, Authors, and Speakers. And I really attribute them to my initial understanding of speaking and how to go about it and how to charge and all the different things. And then I also, here in Eugene, did go to Toastmasters just to get more training. I think the techniques are always good to learn, and at the same time, people need to remember who they are and be themselves. That's really essential, and you will continue to evolve. I always have a disclaimer with my audiences. I always tell them that I will never arrive and have it all together. So I like people to know. I think speakers look like that sometimes up there on the stage. Believe me, they will never have it all together. So take that to the bank, I tell you. But as long as you're talking about what you know and what you're passionate about, if you can get the techniques to get that message out, it really is helpful. So I just encourage people to always be you, even though we have to adjust a few things and tweak a few of our techniques. But don't try to be the image of someone else. Be unique. Be yourself.
Quirks and all, huh?
Quirks and all. The audience loves it. You have to remember your audience has all those quirks. They don't want you to be up there being this perfect person.
Sure.
Not that we want to talk about all our weaknesses, but we can actually get up there and connect with them by having those quirks. And I always tell audiences frequently, I tell them, you know, I'd like to just invite them into my home. I wish we could just talk one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
That also helps you realize if you take that approach, pretending you're inviting them into your home, you almost feel differently up there on the stage. So I tell them a lot of times, just too many people, but I'd love to invite them in, you know, let them see all my quirks.
Wow. Well, that seems like it set people at ease, and yourself right. as well, it sounds like.
Well, yeah, a lot of that is for myself, because yeah. when I start talking about that I'm not perfect, and particularly because I speak to women a lot, and we set ourselves up a lot for mm-hmm. failure. We're very self-critical, and so I like to open up and tell them that I'm the same, just like them. Just happen to be called to be up there on the stage. So
that's great. Well, good. So you talked a little bit about preparing for a speaking engagement,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I don't think any of our speakers so far have breached that subject. So I'm really interested to hear what you have to say about digging in and preparing for the speaking engagement. What to ask? Okay. What to do to prepare?
Okay, that's a good question. Excuse me. when I'm contacted, oftentimes I'm either contacted by email or by phone. But the initial thing you want to know, and again, depending on what your plan is as a speaker, whether you're charging or not charging, you also want to get everything clear before you go, because you don't want any misunderstandings. But the first thing I ask is, who are they? I try to learn about the church or the club or the organization. And you learn a little bit about who they are. You want to understand their demographics a little bit, the age of the audience. It's just like anything. You want to know who your audience is. You can't speak to senior citizens the same way you would speak to 20-somethings. So
sure.
you need to know if there's a mix, what that's all about. Is it a retreat? Is it expected to be more formal, a keynote at a conference? Is it a luncheon? But who are these people? Are they going to all be in jeans? Well, you don't want to show up in a black suit. You know, you want to. Class taught me that you basically want to dress up one level above those people you're speaking with. And that's not to, but just so you look professional. But if they're in jeans, then put your jacket on with your jeans or whatever. But don't outdress people. Don't try to do that everywhere.
Sure.
But also the preparing, you want to also give the person an introduction of yourself. Oftentimes the people I'm working with are not actually in the profession of coordinating speakers. So you want to be the professional and tell them what you want to give them. And an introduction of yourself, so your audience knows who you are, what they can expect. You want to ask them if they want handouts at the presentation, or do you particularly want them? If you do, you just tell them that you work with handouts, or you need a flip chart, or you need electronic projection, whatever. You want to be sure that's all clear. I'm sorry, my morning voice, I keep clearing my throat.
That proves you're real, right?
I'm real.
Not perfect.
No, my dog is barking in my office this morning because my office is here at home. But one thing that's huge for me, there's a couple things, but the microphone. I struggle with a handheld microphone because I like to move around and I use my hands a lot. And so that is one of the first questions I ask. What kind of microphones? You want a Levalor, which clips on your lapel, or do you want a headset? Obviously, these days a headset is probably our preferred. But make that clear. The lighting also, I'm in a stage in life where I need bifocals if the lighting isn't good. So I've been in some situations where the lighting really, I struggled with my notes. And you want to know if they're going to plan on recording you. Then you want to talk, are they selling the recording afterwards? Do you give them permission to do that? I actually have a form that I give if they're doing that. What's the room set up? Is it going to be tables? Is it going to be more formal? What is the room set up? So you can visualize before you get there what it's going to be like. That way you can see yourself in front of these people. And that's very, very helpful.
Boy, that's great information. For someone that doesn't have the extensive experience of speaking, that these are points that people would discover along the way, I'm sure. But
well, you do, yeah. If you don't get that ahead of time, you think the person calling you knows what they're doing. And I'm not trying to be critical of people, but oftentimes they're multitasking in jobs, these people that are calling you. And they may not be the expert in speakers in terms of what you need. So you have to know what you need. You have to take responsibility for that, because they really, they're doing their best, but they're probably cooking in the kitchen too. You know what I mean? There's a lot of things they're doing. So you want to show that you're the professional that knows how to help them, and it makes their job easier.
Well, Judy, you, it sounds like you've got quite a system for this. Do you mind people contacting you to ask you questions, or maybe to see your checklist?
No, not at all. I could actually type this up. I don't have it in this form, you know, where I, but I could type this up, Eric, and maybe get it to you to have people, if you wanted to put it on your website as well. I would love that. I think I'll put it on mine, though. I haven't done that. So.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, people know that they can eventually see that on your website, or at least be in touch with you for it.
Absolutely. I welcome that, because without the help I'd gotten, I couldn't have done it. It was just so intimidating for most of us. Even though I'm an outgoing person, people think it's not hard for me. It was very hard. I was a nervous wreck.
Yeah. Well, I could see that. I think most people are. And, you know, for aspiring speakers or beginning speakers or possibly even intermediate or advanced speakers, knowing this information, having it in a systematic format, I think could be very helpful.
Well, it is. And I think the most awkward thing is the budget for speaking, because each person has to ascertain for themselves what they expect. I mean, perhaps they're comfortable with not having any pay, or, and that's totally fine. We all go through those points just to get experience. You know, it's a privilege to have the opportunity without pay. So I'm not going to emphasize that we must have a fee or payment for our speaking opportunities. But if you are at a place where you want to do that, that's an awkward thing. And this is where class helped me. They established the different levels of speakers and what you should be charging. Hmm. One of the things I try to do if someone contacts me either by email or by phone is to ask them what their budget is. Hmm. That opens it up, and you can just say, what is your budget? And if you're a person who's not going to speak without some fee, then if they have no budget, you don't have to waste time with all the other questions. So although when they first call, you don't want to just say, okay.
Right.
No, so you have to just be sensitive about that. But I think that's the best way to open up that conversation, is just to ask, what is your budget?
Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're about halfway into our call. And I know we wanted to cover a couple of other things. You mentioned nervousness versus fear, and also tips for the presentation itself.
Right.
Can you address those things?
Yeah, let me talk about the tips a little bit, and then we'll talk about the fear. One thing I learned with, again, through class, they call it the peer method. It's like the peer in the ocean, and it's P-I-E-R, if your audience wants to write this down, and it helps you to balance your presentation. You want to figure the points that you want to make. You want to also include instruction in your presentation. What do you want them to know? What do you want to teach them? And then the E part of the peer is experience, your own personal experience. And this is where you use your own anecdotal life experiences, which is very, very helpful and also will really make your audience connect with you, to emphasize your points and your instruction. And then also, I'm big on quotes and scripture and things like that as well. The references is the last point of the peer. So it's you want to make your points, you want to give instruction, you want to share experience, and you want to use references. And even a reference can be a newspaper article to confirm a point you're making. It can be, like I say, a quote. Can be a cartoon. I mean, anything that emphasizes your point. So that keeps balance in your presentations.
Yeah.
And that initially was more helpful than anything I can imagine in just preparing. But I kind of call these the power P words, which might help people think of some of these things. So you want to always start with a powerful beginning. And obviously today we don't have time for me to expand on each of these points. So I'm just going to give the points. But okay, Okay, as we've talked about learning to pace yourself, please do that and learn more about it. Props are important. Your personality is important to, again, express your personality. You cannot be phony. Your audience will get it, I guarantee you. And be passionate. Talk about what you know about. Use personal experiences, anecdotes to show who you are as a person and emphasize your points. Your people in your audience, when you think of them, don't think of them as a big blob. Pretend you're talking to one person even. It's totally fine. And that person that's frowning at you, remember, they oftentimes are the people that are really concentrating on your speech, which I've learned. Because I get real intimidated when those people don't seem to laugh at my jokes and stuff. So just remember, they might be really concentrating something you've said. And practice, just practice. Record yourself. Get practice wherever you can and persist in that. And that's a lot of times, those are those free speaking opportunities you have. Remember, your key points cannot be too many. And I probably do that all the time. You want to have about 10 minutes for each point. And I pray. I sit down and pray before I give a presentation. But that also helps me with my nervousness. And I want to go into that, Eric, if we have time a little bit.
Sure. We've got 3 or 4 minutes and then time for closing.
Okay. Well, I'll just say the nervousness versus fear. Almost everyone's going to be nervous, but fear is a different thing. And I want to just give you a few hints to get over the fear. And one of them is arrive ahead of time. Maybe speak to your audience a little bit before they come in. Then you realize they're just people. They're just people like you. And you get your focus off yourself and your fear. And again, be yourself. And maybe you need a little bit of quiet time before you go in. That will also settle your nervousness and your fear. And visualize your success. Literally visualize your success. As you've met those people already, you know they're there to hear you. They are wanting you to succeed. So remember that. You can maximize their involvement, but you need to learn how to relax and breathe. Breathe while you're speaking. And that also will help relax you. And go ahead and laugh at yourself if you mess up. They love it. They love it when you mess up. You don't have to make a big deal about it, but laugh at yourself. Don't take yourself too seriously.
It sounds funny to say breathe. Remember to breathe. Who would forget to breathe? But you do when you're speaking and you get nervous, don't you?
You do, and it constricts. And you need to. And I oftentimes open my, especially with women, because I say, okay, I know you've all raced here. You're just uptight. You've had to get the kids, whatever. You know, your husband's not going to cook dinner, darn, and whatever. And I tell them, let's all just breathe. Let's all take a deep breath. So sometimes I do that with my audiences if it's appropriate. So it helps me remember to do so too.
Good idea. Well, Judy, you mentioned mind mapping versus outlining. That seemed real interesting to me. Do you want to take a couple minutes to touch base on that?
Sure, I will. And it is complex to describe, but I will say there's an excellent book on mind mapping, and I'll tell you what it is in a minute. But it's Present Yourself is the title of the book by Michael J. Gelb. That's G-E-L-B. And it's actually got a foreword by Tony Buzan, who is the person who created mind mapping in the 70s. What it is, when you prepare a speech or a presentation or even a thought, lots of times we outline them. This is a different concept where you actually take colors and objects and keywords, and you do it in a circular fashion. For example, you take your center, like if I'm talking to women about children, I might make a center circle on a page and I put women and children. And then you take branches out from that in a circular type fashion and you start using from your central image, you use your keywords and you put one keyword per line and you use colors and pictures and codes, whatever you can draw, or you can use different colors to draw your attention. I highlight different subpoints in different colors. It's amazing for me. Rather than writing everything you want to say, like a lot of people do, then you end up reading what you're saying. What you do with a keyword on mind mapping is it provokes those thoughts that you want to say. You've practiced it at home, so you already know, but the keyword will prompt you, not provoke, but prompt your thoughts. And the colors draw your eye when you're in a position of speaking to go to the points you want to make and that kind of thing. You can draw little pictures. They encourage you drawing as many pictures as you can. But it's, like I say, hard to explain, but if you can picture just a big sheet of paper more in with a image in the center and then these branches out in a circular motion. And he explains why it works for the brain in a different way than outlining. It's too much for me to go into today, but it's because of how our brain works, but then we pull in more of our brain in doing it this way. And it's absolutely, for me, tremendous. It works so much better. If I have an outline, I can't do it anymore from an outline.
That's really intriguing. So it sounds like you're saying this works very well for you as the presenter to remember what you're speaking about, remember your key points, but it sounds like it also makes a bigger impression on your audience, and they tend to remember and track with you better during the presentation and maybe retain more of what you've spoken about?
Well, I think so, because you're speaking more naturally, for one thing, because you don't have it all written down in a sentence. You have the one word to prompt your thought, and I think your audience feels that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole different way. I mean, a lot of speakers get up there and don't have any notes. Great. But for me, because I rarely repeat the same thing exactly the same, I have different emphasis I might want to make. So it's really wonderful. And this book not only has this mind mapping technique, but it also talks about transforming your fear. A lot of the tips I've actually shared today have come from this book, and I do want to give Michael Gelb credit for that, because I learned so much just from this book. So I would encourage your listeners to check it out, look it up, and see if it's a book they might be interested in. Again, it's called Present Yourself, and it says captivate your audience with great presentation skills. So that's what we all want to do.
Well, yeah, that sounds like a tremendous resource, Judy.
It really is, because he gets into body language and all the other high performance techniques that you learn. And it's ongoing. I want to emphasize, I was told when I first started, you will never ever be a speaker that's finally where you want to be. You need to keep growing as a speaker. And I think that's important for everybody to know. It's even those high level speakers out there are still growing and learning. If they're not, they shouldn't probably be there.
Huh. Well, that makes a lot of sense. Like you said, you see people that don't have notes, and you know that's not how they started.
No, absolutely not. And people expect you to have notes. It's not, I've never felt uncomfortable having notes.
Yeah.
Never.
Well, to recap, Judy, before we move into the closing of our call, we've talked about tips for preparing for a speaking engagement, a list of maybe a checklist of several things to cover before the event and even during the event, like lighting and handouts and giving an introduction ahead of time, and being the professional to both the organizer and to your audience. And then we talked about the presentation itself, P tips.
Right.
That we talked about. You know, that you mentioned powerful beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Pausing for people to engage, and then pacing yourself in different ways, and then the mind mapping with the resource, the book that you mentioned.
Yes.
Sounds like a tremendous resource. Present Yourself. Is that?
It is.
Is that right?
The title.
Michael Gelb,
Gelb.
Mm-hmm. So. So now, Judy, I want to make sure I didn't get it right at the beginning of the call. I want to make sure that you give listeners the right information to contact you. And you said jldwrites@comcast.net is your email?
Correct.
Okay. That's jldwrites, W-R-I-T-E-S, @comcast.net. And your website, judydipel.com, right?
Correct.
Okay. And what phone number? Do you want to give a phone number out for people to contact you, Judy?
Well, they can. It's here in Oregon at 541 653-8636.
Perfect. Okay, good. Well, are there any special gifts or offers that you'd like to offer to people listening to this call?
You know, I would love to, Eric, because it's really interesting. We all need some help, and sometimes it's just these small things, even like I've said today, that really propel people into speaking with a lot more confidence. But I do want to offer a two-hour speaking consultation. This could be done by phone or by Skype or in person at half price for $50. And people, when they contact me, would just need to say Crush It Special, and they would have 2 hours to come with all their questions or whatever they want from me with the speaking. I can also do that with a writing consultation as well if they wanted advice, if they're aspiring authors or that kind of thing. I'm happy to do that. 2 hours goes really quick, but we can still get a lot of information in. And I also want to offer for freelance writing projects. Again, that can be anything from website copy to brochures to anything, a cover letter, anything involving words. I'd like to offer 20% off on any writing project, no matter how small or how large. And again, I charge generally $50 an hour for that, and I'm offering 20% off.
Well, that's great. Okay, good.
And I just need to mention the Crush It Special again. That would be my keyword.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
And again, people can find all sorts of information, including some of the information from this call on your website.
Mm-hmm.
It was so refreshing to meet you and talk with you, get some of these pointers. Obviously, we can't cover a whole lot in 20, 25 minutes on a call, but you've covered some great things that that weren't covered in some of our other interviews. So thank you, Judy.
Good. Good. I'm really happy to be here, Eric, and thank you for having me.
You bet. Well, again, this is Eric Bynes with PublicSpeakingCrushIt.com. Hope you enjoyed the interview. Thank you, Judy. Thank you to the audience. Farewell for now.
Thank you.